Good morning, everybody. This is Dr. Barbara Campbell. We're going to go ahead and call our meeting to order of the Arizona Board of Podiatric Medical Examiners of May the 13th, 2020. We'll do roll call as we are not in person. So we have Mr. Rhodes.
Here.
Dr. Foreman. Dr. Yolano?
Here.
Dr. Campbell, present. Ms. Heather Broaddus, our executive director, is present as well. And Seamus Monahan Esquire, our AAG, is in person. We have Dr. Saunders on the phone, and we have Dr. Farrell present, and we have Heather, who's the other doctor that's on the phone this morning?
Dr. Pertuck.
Pertuck. Okay, great. So does anyone have any declarations of conflicts of interest to declare at this point in the meeting? All right. So we are going to go ahead and move to, we're going to change our order here a little bit. We're going to go under Item 5, items for board review, discussion, and possible action. We're going to go ahead and move to B, which is our investigator for the Arizona State Board of Podiatry Examiners. We have Dr. Saunders on the phone. So I believe at the last meeting we did have the CV, but the doctor was not available for discussion. So we're going to open this up to asking Dr. Saunders questions, and if Dr. Saunders has questions of us, so that we can move forward with this. So, Dr. Saunders, if you just want to give a brief, introduction of yourself, where you practice, what your experience is.
Sure, Ken. Yeah, I'm having a little hard time hearing Heather. Maybe on your end, just movement around the phone, speakerphone. So I'm not hearing everything really well. But about myself, I'm a transplant from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where I grew up. I've been out here about 20 years. I've been practicing solely in Tempe. I used to have a little bit of an office in Gilbert, but kind of consolidated that down in recent years. And I'm pretty much a homebody with my wife and two kids.
Okay. Dr. Saunders, we appreciate your interest in being an investigator with this board. Have you had the time to review the documents that Heather sent, that summary of the position as well as the report template?
I did about a month or so ago, yeah.
Okay, great. And do you feel that you have the time to devote to performing investigations and participating in board meetings monthly, either telephonically or live?
Yeah, I'm pretty much by myself. I can kind of make my own hours as things go along here, so it should not be an issue.
Okay. And do you have any questions of us regarding the investigation process and the role of the investigator?
I don't at the moment. I've over the years I've kind of done some of this work before for different insurance companies and some attorneys and things like that. So I'm familiar with a little bit of the process.
Okay, because that was you walked right into my next question.
Curious,
yeah, if you'd had experience with peer review, independent medical review, or any other expert review processes.
I have. I used to be on the board at the hospital, Banner and Peer Review. I've done some for independent work for attorneys and some of the insurance companies.
Okay. Thank you. All righty. And Dr. Yolano, Dr. Foreman, do you have any questions for Dr. Saunders?
No, I just thank you for your application.
Dr. Saunders, this is Dr. Foreman. Would you be able to come to the board meetings if needed, or do it telephonically?
I mean, yes, it shouldn't be an issue. We're talking the once-a-month meeting that you're referring to?
Yes.
Yeah, that won't be an issue. Is it Wednesday mornings, I believe?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, it will not be a problem.
Okay. That's the only question I had.
Okay. All righty. And have you, and if you, you know, if you would have any questions regarding, you know, the process, there's always, I think, did you send the guidelines to them too, Heather? That guide, there's the document that was, guidelines for?
I believe so. I believe all of the...
All of the documents, mm-hmm. Okay. Because that was one I didn't ask, because I asked about...
I had a protocol, I had a template, if I remember.
Okay, great. I just wanted to double check. Okay, so... again, during that, you know, that process, if there are any questions, you're would be more than welcome to, you know, ask me, ask Heather, or any of the other investigators for, you know, help or review or questions on the process. So, and one of the things too that I like to kind of point out on that is if there's a complainant that has obviously an attorney involved, then you definitely need to be able to, you have to work through the counsel with them. You can't just directly call the physician. Okay.
Sure.
Okay. So.
You know, if I recall too, if there's the a malpractice case or something that has to finish its course before we do our investigation,
right? Because typically, say if you know, on a renewal for a license, if a doctor indicates that they had been, you know, that they had had a malpractice case, then we have to bring a board complaint to look at that to see if there were any violations of state statutes. And you know, sometimes we do get, you know, notification from the National Practitioner Data Bank that something's going on. And if it's in process, then correct. We have to, you know, things are kind of done in a little different manner to wait for, you know, to find out if a case is going to be settled or if it's going to be dropped or et cetera. So that's correct.
Yeah, I think questions will arise based on order of things as I come across them, I would imagine, yeah.
Yes, right. Exactly. So, so Mr. Rhodes, do you have any questions for Dr. Saunders?
No, just be fair and objective. Look out for the welfare of the patients and for the doctors as well. So that's it.
That just reminded me of something else. Thank you, Mr. Rhodes. That, you know, a lot of times the complainants may get the idea that you are to, that you're there representing them, and that's not the case. That your job is to, you know, is to be objective and analyze the case and situation. So
sure,
yeah, because we've had that kind of happen in the past with. Some complaints, so just kind of a heads up there. So, all right.
It shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, great. So, anybody else have any comments, concerns, questions? Okay. So, well, we're happy that you have expressed interest and have had experience, so that's always good. So, at this time, I will make a motion to accept Dr. Saunders' application and interest in becoming being an investigator for the State Board of Podiatry Examiners. Upon signing of the review of the contract.
Second.
Mr. Rhodes is second.
I second.
Thank you, guys. Any discussion on this? Okay, we'll take a roll call vote. Mr. Rhodes?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell? Aye. Dr. Foreman?
Aye.
Dr. Yolano?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Congratulations, Dr. Saunders. We look forward to working with you. And Heather will be in touch with you.
Great deal. Thanks for the challenge. All right,
okay.
Guys.
Okay. Thank
Have
you so
day.
Much. You too. Be safe.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
All righty. Now we will Move back to, we have Dr. Farrell present with us. We're going to, this is 5A, the update for the audit for complaint number 18-26-C. Like I said, Dr. Farrell is present. Dr. Farrell brought in to us some documentation regarding his electronic medical record system that he's been using and the use of the Dragon, as well as his before this new EMR, he had notes that were done before the EMR and then after the this new EMR system that he's been using. So Heather sent those to you. I hope that you've had at least the opportunity to review the notes. Have you had that opportunity, gentlemen?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, so Dr. Farrell, come up closer. Pardon me, I gotta take a drink here. All righty, so.
Hello.
Morning, Dr. Farrell. Appreciate you bringing this information to us, and that for keeping up with Heather on having your office keep up with her weekly as to how things are going for you. So how do you feel about your new system and your ease of use?
It's much easier. I get all my notes done, and seeing the Dragon dictate, I even get more information into the notes than I did before.
So that Dragon system really has to learn how to pick up your voice. And because I was looking at some of this stuff that you have to, words, things that you can't say that the dictation is going to.
Well, this one picks up my voice really well.
Oh, good. Okay.
I have very little problems with it. It is a great system.
Okay. So have you had any live help? Anybody coming into the office, or you're strictly using what, before you said they gave you like the instruction manual, there
right,
hasn't been anybody with you?
I've had the HHR out of Florida. I've talked with them, a couple different people, and they've helped set up my computer system, and now they're helping every computer system I bring in line with it. They're helping me set it up.
So did you hook up with the one you were talking about from the hospital?
No.
And are you planning to, or?
I still am able to get into the hospital program through my computer with passwords. So I'm back. We're back doing surgeries in the hospital again.
Yeah. Have you booked a case yet?
Yes.
Okay. So now at this point with the new system, did you transfer all your paper charts into the new system, scan it into that, or how are you going to?
They're into the system. They just weren't as complete as I had hoped, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. So approximately how many patients have you used on your new system? How many visits?
Well, maybe 80.
Okay. Well, that's good. Dr. Yolano or Dr. Foreman, do you have any questions for Dr. Farrell?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Farrell. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you just going to be fully using this EMR system for your whole practice?
Am I going to do what?
Are you going to use this EMR system for your entire practice, for all your patients?
Except for the hospital patients. The hospital patients have to do through the hospital's EMR.
Okay. Good.
So, Dr. Farrell, since you're going to use that, sorry, Dr. Yolano, I just thought that. So, you're going to have the patients at the hospital, and that. How are those records? Since you're not hooked up to that system. How are those going to go into your office system?
They have to be scanned.
They're going to be scanned. So they'll, okay. So that those are part of your record, not just sitting in the hospital. Okay. Dr. Yolano, Dr. Foreman, any other questions?
No other questions.
Okay. Mr. Rhodes.
No, looks like he's coming along. Looks good.
Yeah, it's nice. It is definitely a more detailed document. So, just kind of. All right. Well, this audit 1826C is an interim agreement, and this has been going on for a while. And we're getting to that kind of a burnout point, and we've had obviously issues with IT, then we've had, issues with representation for the doctor, and we've had, obviously with the COVID-19 situation, things obviously changed with practice. So it's been brought to my attention, too, by our AAG, by Seamus Monahan, that we're at that point where we're not serving anybody any good issue. So I will, is it appropriate, then I ask you, Seamus, to give your opinion and your what you're seeing with this situation?
Yes, you could.
not executive session, though. Is it considered that or no?
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't
feel comfortable answering that.
Okay. But. Okay. Then we'll. So, again, like I said, we're, obviously it's apparent, I think, now that Dr. Farrell is working very hard on his system. Says he's had 80 patients that he's been working with. So, at this point in time, it's really appropriate to release Dr. Farrell from this interim agreement. And, we always have the opportunity to, if there's any other issues that come up in the future, then we can address them at this time. So does anybody have any remarks about that?
You need a second?
I did make a motion. I did. Yes, thank you. And then we'll discuss. Thank you. Did you second that, Dr. Foreman?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
Board members, can we make sure that that motion is pursuant to the interim consent agreement?
Yes. And add an addendum on that or in an addition on that motion?
You could just remake the motion again.
Okay. So I will... since we seconded it, but we didn't vote, it just falls.
Yes.
So we can make, I will make a more detailed motion. So at this point in time, I will move to release Dr. Patrick Farrell from his interim consent agreement for case number 18-26-C. Now may I have a second?
Second.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion, please? Comments about my comments? All right, so we will take a voice vote on this. Mr. Rhodes?
Aye.
Dr. Foreman?
Aye.
Dr. Yolano?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell? Aye. I'm so moved. Okay, so... thank you, Dr. Farrell. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
We appreciate
it. Have a safe.
Pardon me?
Have a safe week.
You have to drive safely.
Month and year.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
All righty. So... we will go back to our number four is our Review, discussion, and possible action on our board meeting minutes. We have general session meeting minutes of April the 8th, 2020. Does anybody have any concerns or corrections for the meeting minutes? If not, I will move to accept the general session minutes as written for April the 8th, 2020.
Second.
Seconded.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? So moved. Okay. Now we will, actually, I'm going to move to our compliance update, which is 5D. This is also for Dr. Brad Heyman, who has been under a non-disciplinary action, correct, for the performance of osteotomy surgeries. He has been compliant with Heather of sending monthly updates and has not performed any osteotomies. If you may recall, I don't know, Dr. Yolano, you may not have been on the board at this time, that we had this previous order, or this previous order was, what's the original date on that, Seamus?
The original date on that order was the 17th of July, 2018.
Okay, so we're coming up on 2 years again. And we had extended that at that year's time because we hadn't had any cases to look at, any surgical cases to look at for various and sundry reasons. I think one, there was health issues. And then obviously the doctor decided to not to kind of control his own, caseload, not doing those kind of procedures. And he did request release from the order about a year ago, right? So again, in discussion with our AAG, he also, that this is kind of, we're at that point too, where this is been, on the burnout side here because the doctor has obviously been changing his practice restricting his own practice by himself. So again, we have had nothing to observe or investigate. So, does anybody have any comments on this or concerns about where this case is?
Well, this is Dr. Foreman. My concern is that he hasn't done any of these in almost 2 years. So we have not been able to reevaluate the osteotomy surgery that the case was brought upon. We can wait until renewing it, right? Until July, we have to do nothing until then. Is that correct?
Board members, this is Seamus Monahan. Yes, you could wait until July. Unfortunately, if the licensee chooses to restrict their own practice, we don't have control over that, and
okay.
We can't enforce the agreement into perpetuity.
Okay, thank you.
And Dr. Foreman, Dr. Yolano, Mr. Rose, and again, you know, we've had, this is, I mean, there is obviously documentation of this pattern. So again, if, you know, something else would occur down the line, we have that information to go on. And I understand the frustration of not having anything to evaluate. And again, that's why we, you know, extended it again. But this is a non-disciplinary. So if we had put in words making it a, you know, regulating his practice, that would have been a different story. And now that he is, you know, has self-regulated again, we're not doing anything of benefit for the board or for the doctor.
I'd make a motion to release Dr. Heyman from this non-disciplinary action.
Pursuant to the order in the agreement?
Yes.
Thank you.
Do we have a second? I will second the motion. Discussion, please. Dr. Foreman, Dr. Ulano?
No discussion for me.
Okay. Dr. Ulano? Seeing that we have a motion made by Mr. Rhodes and seconded by myself and no further discussion, we will take a vote on this matter. Mr. Rhodes?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell? Aye. Dr. Ulano?
Aye.
Dr. Foreman?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Motion passed as voted. Thank you. All right. So, Seamus, how is, does Heather send a letter or how is it releasing him? Or does that come from you, Seamus?
There's a letter I will send out to Dr. Heyman. If I have any questions, I'll consult with Seamus.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's move on then to the issuance of licenses, which is 5C. And we have four applications here for licensure. Our first is Dr. Jessica Arnonson. We had her application last month, and we were requesting additional information regarding her residency requirements, and we did receive a letter from Dr. Steinberg, the program director, that indicated she'd met all the requirements for graduation, which included her rotations and her case volume requirements. Her graduation date is expected to of 6/30/2020. She has paid $450 application fee and the $200 dispensing fee, Heather?
I do not recall if she has paid the dispensing fee.
Okay, I thought I saw something on there that may have been.
Dr. Campbell, yes, she has paid the $200 dispensing fee. She will still need to submit an application, though, once she gets a license number.
Correct. Okay. So does anyone have any concerns or questions or anything additional for this applicant? Looks like everything's in line. The only thing she would have to do would be to pay her issuance fee of $200, correct? Okay. So I will make a motion to accept the application for licensure and issue a license upon receipt of her signed residency certificate and payment of the associated issuance fee.
Seconded.
Any discussion?
Dr. Campbell.
Yes, ma'am.
I apologize. For my clarification, I thought I heard in the motion that it was upon the signed residency.
Oh, no. No, that's incorrect. You're right. The motion would be to accept her application for licensure and issue her license fee, and then we would expect to receive the signed. Has she put that in her document file? There's no. We need to have that too.
That was what I wanted clarification on. I wasn't sure if the letter from the program director.
Well, that does it. But don't, as part of the materials needed for documentation, they have to have a copy of that certificate, right?
Not if the board accepts this as verification of successful completion of the residency requirement.
Because I thought in the past we did get, I mean, that was, because that's all. I know what you're saying, but I thought we too had to have that in their file. And that's one of the documents that's required, right?
The statute just states upon successful completion of residency. So it's up to the board what they accept as documentation that the applicant has successfully completed their residency requirement. Currently, the application asks for either a certificate of completion or a letter from the program director.
Okay. Just want to make sure we're following the same protocol we did before. Okay, so to clarify that again, I make a motion to accept the application for licensure and issue a license to Dr. Jessica Arnonson upon payment of the license issuance fee. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye. Aye.
Thanks. So moved. All right. Our next is Dr. Patrick Law. He has all his, everything is in order. He's currently licensed in Utah, and that expires actually in September. Dr. Dancho did send his documentation regarding that all requirements were met as of the 1st of April, and that this young doctor also surpassed his assist cases, number one assist cases. So anybody have any concerns about this applicant?
No.
If not, then I will move to accept the application for licensure and issue a license to Dr. Patrick Law upon receipt of the payment for the license issuance fee.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So moved. The next young doctor is Ian Newport. Also will be completing his residency on the 30th of July or June at Kaiser Santa Clara. The doctor, program director, said he was in good standing, performing well, and will graduate. Now, there's no indication on that application whether all the requirements have been completed. So we'd need to ask the doctor to get a more detailed letter from the program director in order to proceed with this application.
Madam Chair, the board, in the past, the board, with these types of applications, the board has approved them upon successful completion of the residency program and payment.
But they just said that that they were in good standing and that they would graduate. So is that going to be, you know, because the other ones we asked, you know, had they met all their rotations and their numbers.
And I think the board looks at these on a case-by-case basis. Typically, if the applicant is on the phone or at the meeting in person, then the board will ask for further clarification from the program director. But a lot of times, I just wait to get the certificate after they've graduated.
Okay. So in this instance, then, I can make a motion to accept the license application and issue a license upon receipt of documentation that the residency has been completed successfully, and also payment for license issuance?
Correct. And in the letter that I sent to the applicant, I let them know that I have to have a certificate of completion on or after the graduation date.
Okay.
Just a technicality, but aren't they supposed to send in two pictures?
Oh, on their, mm-hmm. Yes.
I think there's only one picture.
Oh, yeah, two passport photos, yeah.
And Madam Chair, Mr. Rhodes, that could have been my oversight.
No, there's two. There's not a passport.
There's two. It's at the very bottom.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Very last document.
A lot of times these are scanned in and sent to me, and I may not print.
Yeah, there's two.
Okay. So did we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right. And we have Dr. Radu Pertic. Did I pronounce your name correctly, Doctor?
It's Pertok, but yes,
Pertok.
Of course.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So we have your application.
You're welcome.
This is via a comedy, correct, Heather? Okay, so, and you have all your, everything is in order here. Did you have questions for us or concerns about anything?
Hi. Well, I was just curious about the Arizona scope of practice for podiatry. I was looking earlier over the ACFAS table, and I just want to know if there's any restrictions that I should be aware of.
If you look at this, do you have this? Have you looked at the state statutes? Because there is a...
The statute?
The state statute. There is a definition of podiatry that describes the scope of practice.
Okay.
3230.
I will definitely find that information.
Yes. Because, you know, we... the basic, you know, it's... here, let me... I will... Hang on a second. Let me... get this up and I can, you under, okay, this is our 32-801. This is podiatry is chapter 7, article 1, Board of Podiatry Examiners. You can look, you can go on our website and you can find those statutes and review them. But the definition of podiatrist is under, there's numbers 9 and number 10. And I will just read this to you so you can go back and look at this yourself and educate yourself. The podiatrist is synonymous with the podiatric physician and surgeon and means a person who, within the limitations of the chapter, is registered and licensed to practice podiatry by means of the diagnosis, medical, surgical, mechanical, manipulative, or electrical treatment of ailments of the human foot and leg, but does not include amputation of the leg or the entire foot, or the administration of an anesthetic other than local. So you have to leave, if you do amputation, you have to leave the calcaneus and the talus. So.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, right. So that is the description of the scope of practice in this state. So does that answer your question?
And does that include midfoot and toe amputation, for example?
Yes. Yes.
I believe so, yeah.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Again, that was just a matter of understanding the table, but I totally agree. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions that we can answer for you?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. So everything, like I said, everything looks to be in line here as far as your license in Michigan is in good standing. And are you planning to practice here do you?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that question?
I said, are you planning to practice here?
Yes, I do. I am planning to practice. I don't have any opportunities at this point because of the COVID restrictions, but I'm looking forward to find an opportunity.
All right. Okay. Gentlemen, do you have any questions for the doctor?
No.
Okay, thank you. So I will make...
No questions for me.
Thank you, Dr. Ilano. I then will make a motion to accept the license application and issue a license to doctor upon a payment of the associated fee of $200, correct? Do I have a second?
Thank you, everyone.
Dr. Ilano.
Thank you, Dr. Ilano. Any other discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So moved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. And, Doctor, if you have any questions, you can always direct that to Ms. Broaddus at the office. Okay, let's see where we are here. Too much more to do. Actually, let's move on. I'm going to go to the executive director's report number 7.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair, board members. The rulemaking process, the proposed rules have been posted in the Arizona Register, and they've been put on the board's website for a public comment. To date, I've not had any public comment sent to me. The docket will close on May 18th, and then I'll submit the notice of final rulemaking. Hopefully, those rules will be finalized within the next couple of months. I do have an update with the legislative report. At the last meeting, I had mentioned that the legislature only heard essential bills and then adjourned. The Senate adjourned last Friday. The House, as far as I know, is still in session, but the House can't do anything without the Senate, so all bills will essentially die. So SB 1094, which was the podiatry board bill, is dead. And if the board wants to pursue legislation, we will have to do it next session. Renewals are underway. To date, I've processed about 50 renewals, and I have about 20 pending that I've asked for additional information from. So far, everything is going good with those. I did hear from CE Broker, and they are still on track with the implementation process. And the last I heard from them was yesterday, and it is on track to go live at the end of May. So I'll have to go through some training with them before it goes live, but I will set up a time to do that with them. And the last item is just regarding the current COVID-19 situation. Last meeting, I summarized a lot of executive orders. Governor Ducey has issued a few more executive orders. Order 2020-32 is regarding elective surgeries. Elective surgeries can resume, and that began May 1st, but the hospital facility does have to comply with requirements set forth by Department of Health Services. The Department of Health Services has issued frequently asked questions regarding that, and you can also find that on their website, I believe. The other order that he had issued was 2020-33, and that extended the stay home, stay healthy, stay connected order through May 15th. And another update yesterday, Governor Ducey did issue another executive order, and it's basically going to lift the stay home, stay healthy, stay connected order. So beginning tomorrow, my understanding is that all of the businesses that were closed can now reopen. And that's my summary. I can answer any questions. If there's no questions on that, I did attach an updated budget. I can answer any questions on that. But if there are none, the complaint log, the board members that are present do have an updated complaint log. I did receive an additional complaint since I last sent out board materials. And I've received a few executive or investigators reports and have scheduled them. So that's the only new information on the complaint log. And that's my summary.
So next month we will have...
To date, I have four complaints scheduled to be, well, three complaints scheduled and one informal hearing.
And is that informal hearing is going to be scheduled at 8:30?
Yes.
Okay. And depending on how things are proceeding with COVID-19 directions, they are planning to be in person, but if things change, they have accepted telephonic, correct?
Mm-hmm. And some of the notices that I've sent out still encourages people to participate telephonically because we're still technically under the stay home, stay healthy, stay connected order. But yeah, that may change by the June 10th meeting. I foresee that social distancing will be in effect for a while.
Have you had any problems with e-licensing with the computers for people?
No major issues. I have had to put in a few tickets with the help desk for some reason over last weekend. Maybe it was the weekend. It was a weekend prior. The system automatically marked all licensees as having a late fee. I don't know why, so I had to refund two licensees that should not have been charged a late fee for their renewal. But anytime I've put in a ticket for those types of issues, they've been resolved pretty instantaneously, you know, within 10 minutes of me putting in the ticket. I've had a few other, you know, small issues. I've not been able to save addresses. That was resolved. Typical whenever a system gets a lot of traffic, you're going to have glitches.
Okay. Then the next issue is back is to six. I have a report from the Federation of Podiatric Medical Board's annual meeting. Heather and I were in attendance at that meeting online, or it was a webinar, and that was held May the 1st. Anyway, this was the first time in our annual meetings that executive directors were invited to attend, and it was, I think, very well accepted, and we had good participation. The main items that were on this agenda were obviously the response of the Federation of Podiatric Medical Boards to the COVID pandemic. We also had a couple people from APMA that were there to talk about scope of practice, parity, and advocacy. And that was Seth Rubenstein, who is the new president of the APMA, and James Christensen, James Christina, who is the APMA executive director and CEO. We also talked about increasing information engagement between the boards and opening up a forum. We had a forum for where we discussed key issues from states. Anyway, the COVID response, you can go to the board's website to look at all the things that are on there that, you know, give updates from all the states, CDC guidelines, et cetera. And that's www.fpmb.org. Like I said, it's really, really complete and is a good source of information. With the discussion from the APMA from Dr. Rubenstein and Dr. Christina, they talked a lot about the CPA, which is the professional advocacy, and they're working, hoping, they did some letters to sent out to governors to expand, temporarily expand the scope of practice for podiatrists during the COVID-19 pandemic. I have, and you're, since you're not present, but I have, you know, I brought copies of, or I have a copy of that letter that was sent actually from David Edwards, who was the previous president of APMA, that was sent to Governor Larry Hogan, who's the chair of the National Governors Association, which, you know, asked for help in this issue. Because I know there were a lot of podiatric residents and people that were pulled into helping many ways, particularly in the East in dealing with the, you know, virus. They were, you know, doing wound care, intubating patients, et cetera. So if you're interested, I mean, I can give Heather a copy of the letter if you want to see that, and she can send it out. Or we can have it in, you know, next month's packet. I don't, haven't heard too much regarding what other responses came from other governors regarding that. Anyway, they talked about parity, including, you know, there's a lot of still problems out there that podiatrists aren't defined as physicians, working on scope of practice issues. The APMA noted that only 14 states allow amputations. There are states, three states that have no ankle privileges, which would be Massachusetts, Alabama, and Michigan. And they're also wanting to address history and physical expansion. Their advocacy, they have these innovation grants that help states in their quest for scope of practice legislation changes. And Dr. Christina mentioned, discussed some of the EMN coding changes that, and the Congress has kind of backed off of that. There was, you know, some minimal discussion about the using level five visits for complicated patients, particularly when doctors of podiatry are dealing with limb salvage. And again, you know, these kind of discussions obviously could be very important to state boards in the future when, you know, when we're evaluating billing complaints. The APMA National in Boston, they said, will likely be virtual. All the hotels in Boston's in Boston canceled to the end of June. And they also indicated that people who have PICA, that they PICA will cover podiatrists for expanded scopes of practice during the pandemic. And in New Mexico, somebody mentioned that they have supervised the out-of-the-scope use of podiatrists in their state during this pandemic. During the open forum, mostly the discussions related to how people are handling licensure issues, particularly CME requirements. There were some of the states that haven't been affected because they were on relicensing cycles of every 2 years and had already completed those renewals prior to COVID-19. So they're just kind of hanging loose and watching what goes on, if they need to do anything in the future. There was discussion about, you know, telemedicine reimbursement, and people were definitely interested in having follow-up video conferences, maybe on a quarterly basis, so there could be discussion between the states as to other issues that are coming up, or how everything their practices and their doctors are being being affected during this pandemic. Because one of my big questions, which I think will be interesting to kind of see, is if there is going to be an uptick in complaints to state boards because of changes in practice, telemedicine, you know, and also I think that there's, you hear on the news too a little bit more about, talk about more malpractice issues coming about because of, you know, will perceive lack of care during this time, et cetera. So that pretty much it, Heather, what you remember?
I think you did a great job.
Anyway, so, yeah, it was very, very interesting. So, you know, when we have more of these meetings, kind of keep you up to date on that. So you guys have any questions or anything that you'd like to see addressed at those meetings when we have them?
No, I think you have it well covered.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So, summary of current events. We don't have anything here for that. And our call to the public, number 9, we have no public here to call. And does anyone have any items they'd like to see on future meetings? I guess somewhere down the line, we'll need to add on there about going back over and looking at legislative items again for next year, for next session. So
I will bring that back to the board probably August, September, because we'll need to find a sponsor. Right? The deadline is sometime in November.
Okay.
For a sponsor.
Okay. So anybody else have anything else they'd like to see at a meeting or talk about? Remind me, do investigators have to take the same courses we have to take for board members as far as, because
no,
they don't have to do the, I'm trying to remember what that's called.
I don't know. I didn't have to do it.
Oh. It's required continuing education for board members specifically.
Okay.
The FARB training, you mean?
No,
not FARB, but we had to take, it was about, you know, professionalism and what's the other?
Probably from CSB, right?
No, it's a directive. Well, it's in statute now. It was passed, I want to say, in 2015 or 16. The governor's office is requiring all board members with all, you know, any agency to have 10 hours of continuing education within 1 year of their appointment date.
Right.
Okay. So, and I did sign Dr. Ulano up for CLEAR, and I know that's the course that Dr. Foreman took when he first came on as a board member was through CLEAR.
Oh.
They offer, it's board member training.
Okay. So, and I can't remember the time frame that you have to complete that.
1 year from your appointment date.
Dr. Ulano, have you taken your CLEAR class?
Crickets.
I guess not. Dr. Ulano?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't. I didn't hear anything. I'm not trying to pick on
you. You guys brought it up.
I was just curious. Anyway, so, all right.
It's not bad.
What's that?
I said it wasn't a bad class.
No, I remember the one I took of its, yeah, it wasn't too bad. So anyway, all righty. So our next meeting is scheduled for June 10, 2020, and we'll keep everybody abreast of how that's going to occur. And at 9:28, I will move to adjourn the meeting, seeing that all business has been concluded. Nobody else has any questions or concerns? So may I have a second?
No.
All right.
Any second?
Any discussion?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
So moved. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Stay safe, everyone.
Yep.
Thank you.
Hey, you guys.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good one.
Gentlemen, have you guys got anybody scheduled for